In this, our last session together, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And this is a blessing to be able to address you men. At this point, we've done a lot together. We've sung. We've shared. We've fellowshipped. We've walked. We've heard some good preaching. We've been in the Word together. And so we're going to talk about the need for prayer in our day. The need for prayer in our day is so great. The need for prayer is so great because prayer is where power comes from. To do anything, you need power. To eat food, to walk, to produce anything. Power is simply the ability to move something from point A to point B. Without power, nothing moves, nothing happens, nothing grows, nothing lives. Prayer is the power. Prayer is where we get God's power from. Men who cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. Men who cling to God by faith. Men who trust in God's holy word and cry out to God in faith receive the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. We need men who understand the gospel, who live the gospel, who will be willing to pray to the God who gave His Son. We do not need any more techniques. We do not need more fancy buildings and fanciful financing. What we need is a consecrated life that seeks God for at face value, according to His Word, that is men who pray. The reason so many churches are not advancing the kingdom of God is they lack the power that comes only through prayer. You see, praying churches are powerful churches, and powerful churches are what God uses to advance His kingdom. Paul didn't come just wanting to preach the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel in power. Power comes through prayer. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with him. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe! Help my unbelief!" When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Why is it that we lack the power to cast out evil in our day. Jesus says it's right here. They couldn't do it because this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Some of your versions say prayer and fasting. Some of them just say prayer. There's a variant there. But the point is clear. Praying. Seeking God. Which often involves fasting. Okay? A consecrated life of prayer. Why can't we cast it out? Why can't we do this? Why do we struggle with living the Christian life? Because some things only can be moved through prayer. When we talk about raising up a generation for the Lord, can you do that without prayer? Can you talk about changing the multi-generational curses that are in your family? That have been coming down the pike, that the devil has rooted in stronghold in your family. And you think that you're just going to be able to, I think I'm just going to change that. These things come only out by prayer. Prayer. Why can't we do this? Because we're not praying. That's why we don't have the power. Try to do Deuteronomy 6 to walk along and talk along without a completely consecrated life, a focused life on Jesus Christ. This happens only through prayer. Praying is a full-time job that Christ gives us in our practice, in our thoughts. And without it, we evidence the lack of any real spiritual power to do anything, to train children, to raise our kids, to love our wives, to disciple the nations, to preach the gospel, to work, to keep a job, to keep from sinning so much. The demons are everywhere. I mean, they're entrenched. They're involved. I mean, from the highest courts in our land, these decisions aren't just being made. They're the doctrines of demons. You know, what we viewed a couple of weeks ago in the city there with all the sexual perversion and the bathroom bill. I mean, that was a demonic experience. That stuff is just happening. You know, these are demons involved in great strongholds that are taking place. We're against the Luciferian kingdom that has strongholds in this world. Jesus came and He demolishes the strongholds and He gives us power and authority to go and make disciples of all nations and to cast out evil spirits and to do the work that advances His kingdom. He gave His disciples that. And He was there on earth with them training how to do it, but yet they couldn't do it. Why? Because these come only out through prayer. They weren't praying. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready. And so He gives us the reason why the lack of power. Why the lack of power? It's because of lack of prayer. It's a lack of prayer. Why the lack of power? Now think about that. How much of your life is spent giving yourselves to prayer? And right prayer and right doctrine go together. I don't divorce them. Right prayer and right doctrine. If you're trying to get right doctrine without prayer, that's ridiculous. That's as ridiculous as trying to get right prayer without right doctrine. Right? That's just falling off one side of the horse or the other. You know, which side of the coin do you prefer? Well, you can only use the coin if it's got both sides. Otherwise, it's defaced. You can't use a defaced coin. Go try to give someone a quarter with only the eagle. It's defaced on the other side. That's what living a life of trying to have right doctrine without prayer, or right prayer without doctrine. He who turns his ear away from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination. Trying to interpret and apply God's law to our life without prayer is hypocrisy. That's the heart of Phariseeism. I can do this. Right? I can study it. I can do it by my own power. I can use my own intellect and reason through what the Scripture says. But there'll be no power to apply it. Power comes from prayer. Prayer comes from faith. And faith comes from God. We're talking about dependency on God. Knowing what the right thing to do is nothing. It's doing the right thing that matters. How many of you know the right thing to do? But you don't do it. You lack the power to do it. That power comes through prayer. Praying all kinds of prayers, like we've been talking about. Praying one for another. Like last night, we had a great prayer time. Some good repentance. You know, those things are going to be tested now. Where's the power going to come from when we go home and hit the situations that are in front of us? Where does the power come from to love those who are unloving? To give to those who are not giving? To deal with those? All kinds of situations. That power comes through praying. Praying as you prepare in those times of Gethsemane, and then praying as you go through life to guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. How do we guard our heart? With the Word of God infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, to trust God as we live our life. What is keeping you from praying? I thought last night with the talking about the distractions, and that really helps me. You know, my heart is a distracted place, and it's ridiculous how distracted it can be. But the more I become aware of that, the more I can see the need for the steady faith in Jesus Christ. He loved me and He gave Himself for me, and He calls me to follow Him, and He gives me His Word that I can trust Him, and I can build my life on sound doctrine, that in all my ways I can acknowledge Him. And He keeps bringing me back, bringing me back, bringing me back, bringing me back. And so all these distractions actually can become opportunities to pray.
Right.
And take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I have an errant thought, an errant desire. That's an opportunity to pray. Right now I'm not thinking rightly, Lord. Sure. Move me back. I'm not thinking rightly again, Lord. Move me back. Move me back. And we keep growing on that.
Amen.
We keep moving on that. Prayer. Remember, why don't I have the power here to do what's right? Have you prayed? Are you praying? And are you praying then with the wisdom of God, fearing God, understanding God? That comes through faith. So let's talk about what Jesus tells this boy's father. He says, first he says to the disciples, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." How long has he been doing this? And the man tells him, from childhood. This is a deeply rooted in problem. Okay, the family integration is an incredibly wonderful application that just puts our finger right on the pulse of what needs to change. But it's the heart behind that that says, I want to, by faith in Jesus Christ, love the next generation. That takes a little more power. That takes a little more power from God to give us the heart to love and invest in a life given to training up the next generation, to discipling the next generation, to expose, to be willing to be exposed, to be transparent and honest in dealing with the truth. The truths in your family that break down that communication. Communication, discussion, connections. Right? All guarded with sound doctrine. Let this word be in your heart, fathers, and then walk it out all the time. That's how Jesus came. That's how He made disciples. That's what He's doing here. He looked at life and He was always using the real moments in real time of real life to make disciples. That's what our kids need to see. The dad saying, hey, here's an opportunity to make disciples. Right? You can't do that because you're not having faith. You're not trusting in God here. But we do trust in God, then we need to affirm that. We need to be faith-filled so that we can say, that's it, my son. That's it, my daughter. That's it, my brother. You're persevering here. You're praying. You're seeking the Lord. And it's exciting to see you go. I can see, and I know many of you, almost all you guys here. And it's encouraging for me to say, you know what? I still think you guys are a bunch of mess-ups. But I see the power of God being worked out in your life all the time. And I can go through, and I put myself in there too. I'm a bunch of mess ups. If anyone doesn't believe in progressive sanctification, I don't know where in the world, what planet you live on.
Right?
Because, I mean, it's the flesh is still in there. It's still there. But it's progressively being slain and put to death. I don't struggle with the things I used to struggle with. But boy, do I still struggle. And I see that in many of you. You're growing. You don't struggle with the same things you used to struggle with. But boy, do you still struggle. Right? We can have more mature conversations. But we're not where we need to be, but we're not where we were. Amen?
Amen. Praise God.
That's faith. So use the opportunities to affirm faith, because we all need the encouragement, don't we? We all need encouragement because we get discouraged. You know, so the fact that, you know, yes, there is faith growing in you is very encouraging. And we need to speak that life into each other.
Yeah.
Even as we think about today, how can we speak life into each other? You know, I really see you grow. And I'm thankful for you, brother. You know? At the same time, let's keep a mindful of when we lack the power. If it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to live according to His standards, His rule, His way, right? He also gives us the power to do that.
Amen.
Right? And He tells us, Mark 9 here, why couldn't we cast it out? You're not in tune with the power source. Jesus was in tune. He's praying all night. He's praying all day. He's never not praying. He's never not distracted. So it was always available to Him. And men like Him, who shut the mouths of lions, and who did these things, they were men like Him. They were men like us, but they were men like Elijah. We looked at Elijah. We could look at Elisha. We can look at these men. They prayed, and God heard their prayers. Jesus says how this can be in verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What does that verse mean? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I'm going to say it right here. You know, we do have a problem with the health and wealth gospel. You know, I was raised in that, and it's very confusing because it says, if you believe, all things are possible. And they take that to mean anything that you want God to do, God is obliged to do it because He put it in His Word. The problem is they put you in the seat of that and say, "What? It's the word of faith. If you say it, you give it and you believe it, you give it to God, God is obliged to do it, you name it and you claim it, and that way, and God will have to do it, if you have enough faith. If you don't have and the reason God doesn't do it is because you don't have enough faith.
Right.
And the problem is, the all things, whatever possible, can include health and wealth and anything. Pretty much anything you want. And that's not what Jesus is saying here.
Right.
You know, and they say, well, you don't believe the Bible. Right? And that's not what's going on at all here. It's in the context. And that's a problem. That's one problem. The other problem is this. Lack of faith. And that's a real problem. That is a real problem that says that, well, we just don't believe. And there's a lack of faith. In the what's this saying in context? Put it in the context here. Here's a demon-possessed boy from birth, right? Jesus is saying, if you believe, this is possible. All things are possible to him who believes. Believes in what? Believes in Christ. So faith, what unlocks the power of faith? Jesus Christ does. That is everything that God is going to do or wants to do. It's always according to the will of God.
Amen. That's it.
Every statement doesn't say according to the will of God. But there's enough statements about prayer that are followed with according to your will that I think we can put it in the theological understanding and say it's according to God's will, not my will. That's the whole point of prayer. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Not my will be done, but your will be done. So the all things possible is not, it's not praying whatever I want to happen in the possible realm of what I would will. Because I can tell you what I would will in a religious context. I would will that I would have one tremendous experience and never struggle again. That's what I would will. Right? I would will a sinless perfection theology upon myself and all of you. Do you know how easy my job would be if you guys didn't sin anymore? Huh? Do you know how great my family life would be if I didn't sin anymore? Right? One traumatic experience. One great Shazam. And God would just take it. Now, God is going to do that, but when? I want glorification. That's what I want. I want to go from justification to glorification. And there's a way to do it. It's called death. Okay? There's a step in between justification and glorification, and that's sanctification. Okay? So what Jesus is saying, sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth. He wants to sanctify me step by step because I've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is how God has ordained it to be. Now, in sanctifying, I can have what I ask for if I ask for it by faith, according to His will.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. Then the Father gives us a very honest answer. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe You can do it. But there's part of me that has unbelief. Right? So He acknowledges Jesus Christ, but there's part of it He didn't. Jesus goes on and does it. I'm sure this Father was discouraged when the disciples couldn't cast it out. They could not cast this one out. But Jesus could. And of course, Jesus did, and he tells us why they couldn't. This comes out only through prayer. And fasting. Prayer, fasting, being consecrated to God, being right with God in these ways. Let's talk about all things believe. Let's go up to Matthew 21. Oh no, we're not going to do it. Matthew 7. Let's talk about the power of prayer. Let's talk about the power of prayer. The power of prayer is the prayer of faith. Talk about the prayer of faith. We talked in James 5, the prayer of faith will heal him. What is the prayer of faith? Prayer of faith, we're going to look at four aspects to it. The first aspect of the prayer of faith is to ask. Ask. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Faith asks. Ask and it will be given to you. Now think about that. Jesus says to you, ask and it will be given to you. The prayer of faith believes that. Do you believe that what you ask for, you'll receive? Seek, and you will find. Do you believe what you seek from God, you will find? Knock, and it will be opened to you. So let's go, let's put the extremes away of a word of faith, kind of metaphysical. We're not talking about that. And let's put a faithless response away too. Let's put away that, you know, let's put this right where with what it's saying is according to the will of God. When you ask, it will be given to you. When you seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. So you're standing at the door knocking. You believe God will open the door. This is human responsibility and God is sovereign right there. What's our responsibility? Ask, seek, and knock. What does God say? He will give it, you will find it, and it will be opened. Both of them involve an initial response by faith on the part of us that God promises to give at another time, in a future time, as a result of us asking and seeking and knocking. Then he clarifies, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What do you think?
It's the word of God.
It's what the scripture says. So there must be a part of this that's true. Right? It's got to be, this has to be true. It's in the Bible.
Sure.
Does anyone think I'm taking it out of context? No. So we agree that this is in context. That this is a true statement, and as a true statement, it's meant to be experienced. It's meant to be lived out, not just read, right?
Amen.
It's meant to be experienced. Jesus said, "He who hears my words and does them." That's how he ends the Sermon on the Mount. So he who hears these words and asks and receives, seeks and finds, knocks, and the door's open. And then he says, well, how are you seeing me? Or what man is there among you? If the son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So he gives us an analogy here. Your son asks you for something to eat. Now you're an evil father, right? But you have enough of God's grace in you, goodness, to say, I'm going to give my son some food to eat. Now us who are evil, we know what that looks like. Now think about this to a much greater degree. God, who has no evil in him, none, is only good. Will he not give his children good things?
Amen.
Why does he tell us that? He wants us to ask.
That's right.
To encourage us.
Yeah, he wants to encourage us. He's our Abba. So what keeps you from asking and seeking and knocking? This is an open invitation. Ask. Seek. Knock. Well, there's sometimes I have asked God things and he hasn't given them to me. Okay. You know, you ask. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures, James chapter 4 says. So there's things that you've asked for that have not been God's will.
Amen.
And he's not given them to you.
Praise the Lord for that.
For your own good.
For your own good, because he loves you.
That's right.
Right? And you need to ask him why, so that he gives you the wisdom to see that. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. That is one of the most amazing promises in the Scripture. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Don't ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. Don't think that that man will receive anything. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God's still answering your prayer. He's saying no. God can say no. God can say, wait. There's things I've asked for that I believe God will give to me. Some things he's giving to me. Some things I'm waiting on him for. And that honors God. You know? You may have to keep knocking a little bit. Luke 18. Ask is the first point of the faith, of the prayer of faith. The second point is keep asking. Luke 18. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? So here God is compared to an unjust judge, just like an evil father who gives good gifts to his children. Is God not much better than that? Why wouldn't you ask him? Well, here's an evil judge. That because of the persistence of the widow, the evil judge, the unjust judge, is moved to do his job. Okay? And she gets justice. How much more then will God avenge his elect? He sees all these things happening. A day to the Lord, 1,000 years, this is one day to the Lord. One day. Since Jesus rose from the dead, it's been about 2 days. Now think about that. That's how God gives us that perspective to view time. Now he says here that, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. It will happen. Jesus will return, and they and all the wrongs will be righted. It will happen quickly, in a twinkling of an eye, as the Lord Jesus returns. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, now here's the echoing question, when He comes again to avenge His elect, right? Get the context. He comes, He avenges His elect. What's the question He has for us that are on earth right now? Will He find faith? So He's going to come and He will avenge His elect. When He comes, though, will He find faith on the earth? That's the question He leaves us with. Got faith? Do you have faith? Because if you have faith, you will be of the elect who cry out day and night to avenge, that He would avenge. Judgment is mine, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will. We can trust Him for that. We are to keep asking. Remember, the purpose of this is don't lose heart. That wasn't fair. That wasn't just. Keep asking Him. Keep asking Him. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in your prayers. Have you lost heart in your prayers? You know, God doesn't... We get disillusioned or... We lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't... Then, in Luke 18, the next parable is very instructive. Don't pray like the hypocrites pray. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God doesn't hear the prayers of a Pharisee. He's working to undo the prayers of a Pharisee. You pray self-exalting prayers? Yeah, God will answer those prayers in a way of trying to pull the carpet out from under you.
Right.
But God, I just want to be used by You. Yeah, so that I can exalt myself.
Right.
God sees that. If I had regarded iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66, the Lord would not have listened. So God's doing a lot when we pray. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. You stand up and pray a self-exalting prayer. God is going to give you what you ask for. I want to be used by You, O Lord. Right? And He can humble you by not giving you what you ask. And if you lack faith, then it's going to be revealed. You don't even have the faith to trust God. Think that man, don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. You're wearing it. Right? You're wearing it. You're living it. You're living it where you're at. Everybody can see it but you. Your wife knows when you have faith and when you don't. She can see through this stuff. Your kids see through it. Your wife can hide it from your brothers for a while. I mean, you know, we kind of know who's spiritual and who's not. Right? I mean, you know, I'm not saying you know everything. Some men's good works go before them. Some works trail behind. So do their evil works. Right? So there was, but over time, I mean, you know, there's those who are spiritual and those who struggle to be spiritual. I'm not putting anybody down. Just saying that, you know, these things really are, you know, collectively together. You know, my sins hurt the overall power of the body. And so do your sins. You know, we're only as strong as the weakest link kind of deal. And we all link together. We're in a covenant community through Jesus Christ. And we do link together. And so your prayer life matters to me. And my prayer life matters to you. Because through it, we're either going to encourage each other or strengthen each other. We're either covering each other and fortifying each other for the battle or not. You know, when one soldier goes, hey, you know, cover me, he's expecting that his boys are going to cover him. And they're going to shoot crossfire or whatever, you know, to cover him. So he can get to the next spot. We need each other to cover one another. To cover one another in prayer. You know, if it's just standing up singing self-exalting prayers, you know, in your prayer closet's like not much going on in that prayer closet. There's going to be no power, you know, and then things are going to unravel. God's going to bring some kind of a discipline. Always. And if you don't recognize that, then that's a serious judgment, right? We need to pray and ask and seek so we can recognize these things. So don't pray. So the prayer of faith asks. Sometimes when I'm praying, you know, I just have this sense, you know, and I'm working through all this stuff, and I thoroughly enjoy this when I just, you know, you sense the Lord just saying, "My son, ask." I'm like, all right, and I don't always just go there. I have to pray a while, and I'm worried about this and anxious about this, and finally I get down so I'm just at peace, right? And then the good stuff can come. It's like, okay, just ask. And I just start asking and rejoicing in what God can give and can do according to His will. So ask. Keep asking. God is a good Father. God is a just judge. Okay? Don't complain. Ask. Don't criticize. Pray. Don't be like the Pharisees. Humble yourself. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer.
Amen.
Have childlike faith. Some of you kicked that around in our discussions, and that was very appreciative, because that's what we want. We want to have childlike faith. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to him and said, "Let the little child come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter." Luke 18:15-17. So Luke 18 has some really good stuff in it. Keep asking. He's a just judge. You have faith. Don't pray like the Pharisee. Pray like the tax collector. Be like, understand that. Have childlike faith. Childlike faith says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. How do we express childlike faith? By believing what He told us to do. Now let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21:18. This ties a lot of these concepts together. The power comes through prayer. Now, Matthew 18:21. In the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And Jesus had that kind of power. Why? He always had miracles, or he did these kind of miracles to show who he was. Okay, don't be surprised if these kind of miracles aren't normal today. God could still do them if He chooses to, right? But these are very specific miracles to show who Jesus was, who had the authentic and true message from God. Right? So we're going to see this in the time of Christ and in the apostles who laid the foundation for the church. And so this is a very visible picture of who Jesus was. And He's using it to show as an analogy to the lack of fruitfulness in the nation of Israel that should have been there. Okay? Put it in its context. He just cleanses the temple, the pericope before it. So, it withers away. And the disciples saw it, and they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus uses an example, as He always does. He real life examples. That's how He taught His disciples. That's how we got to teach our children and disciple each other. "Hey brother, I think that, you know, let's talk about this. Let's get the biblical interpretation to what just took place here." Right? That's how He made disciples. Real life, real time. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." So He says, "You see what I just did? You can do that. And more." And now here's the key, verse 22. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. That's the promise of God. Whatever things you ask in prayer. So we're praying. Okay? What is the goal of prayer? To do God's will. Yes. The goal of prayer is to do God's will. Prayer is, the Greek word for prayer is prosukomai, right? Which has the word prostrate. So the whole concept of prayer is to prostrate oneself before the deity, before God. So as we prostrate ourselves, all those concepts, it's by faith, humbling ourselves, recognizing His rule, His reign. Prayer means humbly recognizing God's rule over our life. Okay? So that's what prayer is. The goal of prayer is the recognition of God, the supremacy, the recognition of His supremacy, and to do His will, to be His servant. That's what prayer is. Prayer is never to be truncated and putting to get what I want, right? Prayer is always about doing what God wants. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Your Father knows you need them, and you can petition them before Him, right? But in this way, our Father who art in heaven, be God-centered. Hallowed be your name, your character, your name, your greatness is the primary concern of prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's get all that groundwork done first. That's the focus of prayer. Then there's an opportunity to say, when you sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. By the way, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. I know you need these. You know that I need these things. Here's some specific prayer. And now you're honoring God as you're praying for what you need. As you pray. Okay? So we need to get in our minds, that's what prayer is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Very clear. Scriptures are very clear on that. It's not confusing. That's what prayer is. Bowing down before God. So, Jesus is saying, This is whatever things you ask in prayer. So you're praying, right? And you're asking God's will to be done. Well, that involves a lot of things, doesn't it? Because in your life, there's a lot of areas where you need God's will to be done, isn't there? So as you're praying, you're asking God to bring about His blessing, His touch, if you will, His character, His glory, into all the details of your life. And in the details of your brother's lives. And in the details of your sister's, everybody's life, right? That's intercessory prayer. All kinds of different prayers. Prayers for other nations. We're praying for, you know, usually we pray for what we know. We're praying for Mexico, right, Nathan? That's on your heart. We're praying, we met Hitti, we pray for Mongolia now. That's on our hearts, right? All kinds of prayers as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. But we're asking these things as we pray. Now, as we're asking, how is it that we can have the power? Like Jesus just showed us. In order to have the power, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, and I have that word circled, believe that as you ask God for these things, believe that He hears you. And what's the next phrase say? You will receive. That's called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is simply praying in faith. Prayer of faith, praying in the Spirit, believing. So that's praying enough to know what the will of the Lord is. But once you come to that place where you walk in and you know it's God's will, you can believe that. Just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it's possible, take it from me. Okay, it's not possible. And I mean, he says, this is your will. And he submits, your will be done. He walks into it. He has that prayer of faith. Now, as a result, he's going to go all the way to Calvary. Entrusting himself to the will of his Father. That's how he did it. And that's how we're to do it. When we have that place, we don't always immediately know, well, what is it? So we're reading the Scriptures. You know, our doctrine is coming up. We're praying through these things. What is your will? Okay, I know it's God's will that I am too. And then where's your life? Love my wife today. train my children today. Love the brethren today, right? Pick up the trash around here with a good attitude.
That's right.
Right? Right? These are all applications. So, I know it's God's will that the king. Now, I don't know the overarching sovereign will of God. I know the moral will of God. That's what I pray. I don't know what God's ultimate plan is for America. I know what God's ultimate plan is for the nations. I mean, ultimately, they'll all bow down and worship Him, right? But I don't know what the individual plan that God has for America. I pray God bless America. Jeremiah 29, right? Go in the cities, plant vineyards. Seek the good of the city. All right, that's cool. Let's seek the good of the city. We all need to repent and believe in the gospel. I know that's God's will, right? And so, as you know God's will, you pray that, believing, and you will receive. What do you think? Well, what I'm saying here is sometimes when you have the if in front of all your prayers, there's no faith.
Right?
Well, if it's your will, God, I'll do it. Okay, sometimes there's wisdom in that, right? If it's referring to God's sovereign will, I don't know. And I honor God by saying, if it's your will. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, you don't know, you know, if it's your will, this that do such and such. Lord willing. There's some things we don't know. But I do know that I am to go and preach the gospel to every creature. So, look, there's a creation. I don't have to say, God, if it's your will, I'll go share the gospel with that cactus. I know it's His will. Right? Go up to that burly guy and talk to him. Would you like some good news? You don't have to ask. You know it's His will. You don't have to ask. God, if it's your will, I am going to love my neighbor today. You know it's God's will. God, give me an opportunity to love my neighbor. That's believing. And you know what? He will. Give me an opportunity to love my wife today. And you know what? He will. Give me an opportunity to lead my... to suffer for your kingdom. And He will. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. So sometimes we need just... if it's everything's if, the if needs to... we need to look at that if and say, why am I putting a condition on here when God says to believe it? The prayer of faith learns to, and there's a process, drop the conditions and just stand in faith. This is something that the Lord's constantly showing me. And, you know, I'm coming out of the Word of Faith movement, you know, and so I had a lot of, you know, wrong perceptions that I had to really work through. But I believe in name it and claim it where it says it in Scripture. Right? You got to put it in its right theological context. And I believe, and this to me is very important. It's where the subjective meets the objective.
Right.
Where I meet the Word.
Yeah.
I am subjective. We're subjective, right? We all have our own subjective perspectives. Our perspectives are not absolute truth, right?
Right.
But we all need to go to the objective absolute truth of God's Word. And so prayer is where the subjective meets the objective. And prayer, then, is aligning ourselves with the will of God so that the objective will of God, the objective truth, the absolute truth of God's Word becomes our will. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we advance it. We actually participate in the
Amen.
Blessing of walking that out.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's perfect sense.
I think this is the key to prayer. This is the fun part of prayer. I remember when this started clicking with me, and I was all of a sudden, to me the prayer closet idea was, you know, you hear guys talk about it, but when I got a hold of this, I couldn't wait to get in those prayer closets.
Right?
Because I look forward to it. I mean, not that, you know, yeah, I get distracted and my heart gets hardened and I got to repent and stuff gets in the way and that's insane, right? But I love to get into that prayer closet. I love to get away and pray. Because it's where the power comes from. You know? I mean, I've prayed... one time I prayed that a strip club would burn down. And within the month, the thing burned down. You know? I'm not... I mean, I just say amen. Right? I mean, I don't. Had I not prayed, would it not have burned down? I don't know. I thought it was just interesting. You know? You know, I pray for opportunities to share the gospel, and God, you know, He gives them. I pray for people to disciple. And there's a sowing and reaping there. I don't understand all that. But He provides them. Right? It's amazing. Daily bread, God sustains. In all ways acknowledge Him. He provides. And then we could go into her personal testimonies of how the Lord answers prayer. Pray. All those words are important. Pray. What is pray? To God. Bowing. Humility. Faith to Him. Ask Him. Right? Honor Him. Getting in line with His will. Right? Your will be done. As you're praying then, believing. And that's the participle. That's why there's an ing there. See it? Circle it. It's a participle. That's process. Okay? It's not the error sense. It's not just believe. That means that Matthew's commenting in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's commenting on the activity of belief. It's a participle. It's ongoing activity. Believing. Okay, so it's just ask. It's not ask, believe, you'll get it. No, it's ask, be believing. Okay, be in the process. Be in the lifelong process of continually seeking God through prayer like Jesus did. And as you do that, be about the business of believing these things, and they, future tense, they will be given to you. Future. And ultimately, all of them will be given. Ask of the nations, and they'll be given. It'll happen. The wealth of the nations will flood to Jerusalem. These things will take place. In God's time. But there's some things that are meant to take place in heaven. And some things are meant to take place right here on earth. So, because we're on earth, let's be encouraged by the things that will take place in heaven, right? And let's engage with the things that are meant to be done on earth and bring the kingdom on earth by faith as it is in heaven. And there's a lot of verses that can be said on this, but let's look at another verse that's very parallel to this in 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Beautiful, isn't it? I asked God to use me to plant a church. I knew that I had His will because the Bible says, go make disciples. You see the example of Scripture, plant churches. So we step out in faith and do that. And God does that. Right? Same with Rob. That's why there's a Heritage Baptist Church. That's why there's a Legacy Baptist. Right? Many of you were looking for churches that would preach the gospel. So use that. That's what moves you. As we are in churches then, we have the Great Commission, and we're to move out. We're to seek that kingdom. If we switch things around, God's going to still answer our prayers, but it's going to be to get us in the right perspective. I've never met anybody who, would say, God just doesn't answer prayer.
Right.
You talk to them a little bit, and what do you find? They're bitter, right? They're not trusting God. Well, why are you so bitter? Because God doesn't answer my prayer. Well, if you're bitter because God doesn't answer your prayer, maybe that's how you know that's not why He's answering your prayer.
Right?
I mean, it's. I've never met these things contrary. There's times when I don't know, meaning, wait, God does say wait. But the Scriptures are very clear. This is the confidence. See, that's the faith. That's the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we know it's God's will that we keep growing, that we establish multi-generational families, that we root in, push roots down, bear fruit up, as Isaiah talks about. We know it's God's will for legacy to grow and get elders. We it's on our hearts to have to plant churches here and around the world. We're praying for the North Valley, But God hasn't opened that door yet. But we're praying that. We're asking. We're seeking God. We want to have more elders here. And I believe that God has them. I believe there's men that God has called from Heritage and Legacy. God has put a call on men's hearts and they have walked away from it. Or they've disqualified themselves because they haven't had the faith. They haven't had the faith to ask and to seek and to knock and to see their path go from here to here to in order to follow that. And they get distracted. Right? And that's why we don't have the men. Why don't we have the men to advance the kingdom like we should? We got a multi-generational of faithless men. Why do we have prayer advances? To try to get men out of their comfort zone to deal with some of these issues. Right? That's why we do this. To raise up men. Why do men have such a hard time coming here? Because they're distracted. Some are legitimate. I'm not saying every guy that can't make it here is, you know, I'm not going to go there. So, you know, there's stuff that happens. I mean, Brian Rammel wants to be here, and look what happened to him yesterday. Right? I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that these are real, living examples that both bless us and hurt us. As we collectively together, one of my prayers is that we would be as one man as we go before the throne of God. You know, that we would be, you know, together, united in our hearts, in our prayers before Christ. You know, and faith keeps us from that. Or faith moves us to that. So, you know, we can say, you know, there's a mixed blessing here in how we respond. But the core of it is faith. It is faith. And I rejoice in what the Lord has done, and I look forward to what the Lord will do. And I do that believing, and I believe, I have the confidence that I have what I ask, because I'm asking according to His will. Now the rest, I say, I submit that to the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't know if I'll be alive tomorrow. I don't know when I'm going to die. I mean, so we always have that perspective. And from that perspective, I think our faith can soar. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, that's the prayer of faith. Why could we not cast this out? Because this kind only comes out through prayer. What is the kind of prayer that's needed? The prayer of faith. What does that prayer of faith look like? Asking. Keep asking.
Seeking.
Not asking in pride, but humility, right? Like the faith of a child asking. Okay? Asking in trust. Asking in faith. Asking in the power of the Holy Spirit, who witnesses with our spirit how to make intercession according to the will of God. Romans chapter 8. Father, we thank You for this, for the Word of God. Without You, we can do nothing. Without You, these passages on prayer will just not make any difference. So we ask You to make the difference, Lord. We ask You. We believe this, God. Help us in our unbelief. We see the Word and we say, yes, I believe that. Help us in our unbelief. Where we have other roots that are rooted in, that need rooted out, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. And I ask Your blessing. And I thank You, God, for hearing our prayers. And I look forward, I thank You for the prayer advance. I look forward every year to it. I thank You for the prayers that were prayed here. I thank You that we get to be together tomorrow in the assemblies.
Yes. Amen.
And that this is not just a mountaintop experience, though it is definitely a mountaintop experience. We leave this together to go through life and see what great things you will do as a result of what we've asked of You. Oh God, and we know that You do above and beyond all that we even ask or could imagine. Lord, we thank You for the protection and the provision Lord, you're holding back. If we could even see the judgment right now that you're holding back, the chaos and the mayhem that you are holding back, it is glorious. The kindness and the compassion that you've had to us on us right now. May we be believing men. And may you raise up men, Lord, to stand in the gap, to train, raise their families. I pray that you'd raise up a generation of patriarchs, Lord, that would be there to raise up their seed and their grandchildren's seed if you should tarry, God. We pray that you are doing this, Lord, in a way that is unbelievable to me. And I pray for them here in this valley, as we claim this valley for Jesus Christ, that you've sent us here to do the works of God. And in this country, Lord, of what you're doing across this nation. We ask this, Lord, and we thank you for hearing our prayers and what you're doing, Lord. We have seen the need, and now we are coming to you by faith and seeing the answer being worked out in our lives. And it's a glorious thing. We give you praise. Lord, we pray that you call men to be elders, pastors, to humble themselves and to take the steps necessary, Father, and that they would be sent out where you have led them to go, here and around the world. These men, our children, Lord, whomever, according to your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.